Good morning and welcome to Bicycle Talk. I am here at with my co-host, Fran Storch, and we are a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you are listening to us on podcasts, you can send us an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. If you are listening to us live, you can call or text at 860-486-9487. Thank you so much for listening to us. This is 91.7 WHUS, Storrs, Connecticut. Moving on. So we have, first of all, I'd like to thank my co-host Fran for sitting in for me last week. I had something that I absolutely had to do and unfortunately was unable to be here. So she sat in for me and talked about some very interesting things, women cycling and other various things. Believe that you did some nutrition and health type news that went along with cycling too, right?
I did.
Yeah, and that was really nice, really, really nice. So you get a little bit different perspective, you get a woman's perspective on the whole bicycle thing. And
yes.
Fran is very, very well versed in that because, you know what? She rides a bicycle.
I do.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
It really is.
I plan to do it today.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you do. We did a great ride last weekend, huh?
Yeah, we did.
Wasn't that great?
Yeah,
oh,
it was very
boy,
nice.
Beautiful ride. We rode off into the hills of Woodstock and Pomfret, and we went over the covered bridge, and we went by the that wonderful restaurant that has the wonderful view all around it. You know, that's a 1,000-acre farm. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's really kind of a cool place. Anyway, it's on Wolf Den Road in Brooklyn. It's very pretty. If you live out this way, you'd probably know about that. If you don't live out this way, come visit. I'll show you. It's really, really nice. I am going to start out, as I do every week, also with Ron's rant of the day. Because,
oh boy.
Yeah, I know. I gotta do this, though, because this happened to me yesterday. And I was not riding my bike, but I will have a rant here. And this is kind of an important one because we are sitting on a university campus. We have a lot of people that come in from out of town, and they don't necessarily understand how they're supposed to ride their bicycles and the rules of the road and that sort of thing. And here it is. My rant of the day is riding on the wrong side of the road. What's the wrong side of the road, you ask? Well, very, very simple. If you are traffic, and you are traffic when you're a vehicle like a bicycle and a person on a bicycle, you need to ride with traffic, not against traffic, with traffic. You are not a pedestrian. You're not walking against traffic. You are riding your bicycle. You are a vehicle. So please ride with traffic. Why is this so important? Couple of reasons. Number one, if you're riding against traffic and a bicycle comes from the other direction, things get very confusing. Not to mention the fact that you could have a head-on collision with a vehicle coming in the other direction. Now, that vehicle may be a bicycle. That vehicle may be a car or a truck. But the point is that the impact is greatly increased when you have a head-on collision versus being hit from behind. Not that we want to get hit from behind, but you do increase the impact when you bring two vehicles. This is physics. This is a pretty simple thing. So when you have two vehicles coming at each other in the same in opposite directions and they collide, you have double impact. So that's one thing. But here's the big one, and this is the one that set me off yesterday. And when it happened, I had to slam on the brakes of my car. I was pulling out of a parking lot. Okay. There was a person riding their bicycle on the wrong side of the road. I looked to the right, I looked to the left before pulling out of the parking lot. You're always looking for traffic. You're looking for the traffic that's coming at you. I had to pull into the right lane, turning right out. So I didn't have to cross a lane of traffic. All I had to do was pull into the moving lane of traffic, and a bicycle came from the other direction riding against traffic, and I almost hit him. I mean, I had to slam on the brakes, and I just barely missed him. And so if you're riding against traffic, cars can't see you. Hello, cars can't see you. Please don't ride against traffic. Ride with traffic. And it doesn't matter whether, well, I'm only going down to that next intersection or it's only 50 feet down the road. Please don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. You're endangering yourself and you're really confusing drivers of vehicles.
Isn't it also illegal?
It is also very illegal. Absolutely. Good point. Very good point. Yeah, you're doing something. You wouldn't do it. Look at it this way. If it's something that you wouldn't do in your car, please don't do it on your bicycle. Okay? It's a really, really simple thing. So that is my rant of the day. I had to bring that one up because I almost hit someone. And, you know, I was getting ready to pull out. So in which case, if I'm pulling out with a motorized vehicle and I pull into them and I were to broadside them, I would have been accelerating into them without knowing. And it just would have been a very big, bad mess. And someone would have been very hurt. And I would have been also devastated that I would hit a bicycle. That's my second near miss recently with a bicycle driving my car. I had one by our driveway one morning, too. I was pulling out of our driveway, and the cyclist was riding on the very edge of the road. I mean, in the gutter edge of the road. Please don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. If you're in a busy traffic situation, or if you're even on a quiet back road, please get out in the middle of the road so I can see you. I know the everyone yells and screams about, you know, how you cyclists out in the middle of the road and it's a terrible thing, and it's that's how you're seen. If you look at the League of American Bicyclists and you see their riding rules and their instructions, official instructions, they when they're teaching classes, they all talk about getting in the lane. Get out in the lane, get in the road. If a car comes up behind you, you're much safer to be in the lane and make the car slow down behind you, make them wait until it's clear, and then they'll go around you. Then you are to be, stay right there on the edge and on the gutter. When you stay right on the edge and on the gutter, they're going to try to pass you when it's probably not safe. And when they do that, they are going to either put themselves in a position where they're going to be going head-on into another motorized vehicle, or they are going to squeeze you off the side of the road, and then someone's going to get hurt. So little things there, spinning off of the rant of riding on the wrong side of the road. Okay, now shout out to Mike Beatty from Mansfield. Guess who's coming in town on Saturday? Mike returns on Saturday. He's riding in from Putnam to Mansfield on Saturday. I just got a text from him.
Oh.
And so, unfortunately, I am not going to be able to do that, and I'll explain that shortly as to what I'm going to be doing, because that's part of the main subject of my talk today on Bicycle Talk. But, yeah, Mike is coming in. I don't have official times as to where he will be, when he will be there, but hopefully I will be able to have that by the end of the day, and I can't really broadcast it right now. But if you email us at bicycletalk1@gmail.com, or you can even email me personally at pedlinron, pedlinron@gmail.com, I will keep you informed as to when Mike arrives. So please keep up to date on that one, if you could. Okay, why am I not available on Saturday? Well, I'll tell you what's going on. This is going to be the subject today, and the subject is going to be cyclocross. Cyclocross season is upon us, and cyclocross is, there are a bunch of obvious definitions online if you were to look and see the meanings of cyclocross, but cyclocross race is a form of bicycle racing, and it is typically taking place in the autumn and the winter months, or, you know, the cold months when things are kind of gearing down on the road. And it is a way for you to maintain your fitness with your bicycle. If you are a road rider, it's really a wonderful way to not only do that, but also gain some skills and teach you how to ride your bike when things are not so easy to ride, like if there's sand in the road, that sort of thing. Or if you should unfortunately have that problem with a person in a car or truck that they run you off the road, you can still maintain yourself on your bike and be able to ride to a safe stop. But anyway, the race consists of many laps of anywhere from 2.5 to 3.5 kilometers, or 1.5 to 2 miles. And it features Very little pavement, but sometimes pavement, wooded trails, grass, steep hills, obstacles requiring the rider to quickly dismount, carry the bicycle while navigating the obstruction, and remount. It's kind of like steeplechase. Remember seeing the Olympics recently, and we saw the steeplechase race where they had to, you know, jump over these giant hurdles. And it's kind of like that. So it's an interruption of the race by having not necessarily a hurdle, but we do use barriers in cyclocross. And the races are running usually anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour. I would say on the average around 40 to 45 minutes is what you're looking at for an average cross race. And it's kind of a crazy sport. The sport is the strongest in the traditional road cycling countries such as Belgium, France, the Netherlands. It's kind of a cool thing. And it has some parallels with mountain bike racing, cross-country cycling, criterium racing. Why is it close to criterium racing? Well, criterium racing is on the road, and it's fast, and it's flat, and it's around and around and around we go. It doesn't necessarily have to be flat, but it's usually a short circuit, and they just race around in circles until they get to the end, and then they sprint for the finish. So a lot of criterium racers like to race cross because they're used to going out and putting, basically running to the red line for, 45 minutes to an hour, and then, you know, going for the sprint at the end. So they're used to being able to push their bodies up into that zone 4, zone 5 region and hold it for an extended period of time. And so they are intrigued by the cyclocross thing. In come the folks that also do mountain bike racing. And they have something very unique. They have something called skills. And what those skills are is they're able to ride in off-road conditions and be able to negotiate and navigate their way through these crazy conditions at speed and still have a lot of control on the bike. So you get the mix of the mountain bike person and you get the mix of the criterium person, and you put them together, and you have a cyclocross racer. So you have someone who's very skilled at riding on the road, and you have someone who's very skilled at riding off the road, and you mix them together, and there you have a cross racer. The perfect cross racer is great at both, okay? So they have the ability to really, you know, put out a big, hard sprint when they need to do it, and they also have the ability to be able to handle it when the going gets tough. They're able to read out the course and figure it all out. So it's a great cross train, and it's so good for you. It hurts. I will be the first to tell you that it is not the easiest thing to do out there. It does require you to go about as hard as you can go for that 45 minutes to up to an hour of time. And so you're going to... you're going to be breathing really hard. You're going to be working really hard. And the difficult part about it is that you have all of these changing terrains in front of you and obstacles. There are some man-made obstacles and barriers that you have to go over. There are also some carries up hills. So you actually will get to a hill that is so steep you cannot ride up it. And you have to dismount at that point from your bicycle. And that is another skill which is required. If you, with practice, you get really good at the dismounts. And you're going to put that bike up on your shoulder, and you're going to run up the hill. So now you got a little bit of cross-country running in there, too, as another mix that goes into cyclocross. You run up to the top of the hill. You remount the bike, hopefully with some sort of speed. And if you are careful, you will not hurt yourself when you land on the saddle. It's more sensitive for the guys than it is for the girls, I will say, from personal experience, although I've never been a girl, but I can imagine that they don't have as much problems with protection of various parts. So it's important that you have a very nice, tight-fitting pair of shorts and that you land on the saddle correctly. It can be a little tough sometimes. So anyway, getting those skills down, the mount, the dismount, that's so incredibly important because it costs you seconds of time, and that can make the difference in a cross race. It can also make the difference between whether or not you are in, you know, fifth place or sixth place. Someone could pass you when you make a mistake. I like to explain this when people ask me about cross, and I've been very passionate about this for a long time. I started racing cross back in the 70s and then into the 80s. And when I ran out of cross races to go to because it was so incredibly unpopular and unknown back in those days, I created my own race series, and I had a 4-week series, so I would have at least 4 races I could do that fall. And that's how I got bit by the bug pretty badly, and off I went. And it was a kind of a natural for me because I loved to ride my bike on the road. I was fairly accomplished on the road as a road racer, but I grew up on a farm. And by growing up on a farm, you get to ride in the woods because there's all sorts of paths that go through the woods. I grew up on a 140-acre farm down in Ledyard, and Ledyard, Connecticut, and I used to ride on all the cow paths and the farm roads in the woods, and that's where I rode my bike. It was fun. You know, you ride around, you're jumping over things, and you're bouncing on stuff, and you learn how to, you know, hone your skills. So the first cyclocross race I ever went to, which one of my friends who raced on the road with me, he said, I got something for you to do, Ron. You should try this. This is a really cool thing. I think you'd be pretty good at it. And I said, okay. And he dragged me off to my first cross race. And when he did, I was just amazed because I'm riding with these really high-level riders. They were all very, very good at racing on the road. There was not a chance of me ever doing anything with these guys on the road but hang on for dear life because they were way over my skill level on the road. And what they did was when they got off-road, they didn't know how to ride their bikes in the dirt. And I did. And all of a sudden, it evened the score. And that's the beauty of cross, is that it evens the score. So you can take a very accomplished road rider and a very accomplished off-road rider and mix them together, and now the race is even. So it's a really kind of a cool thing because it really makes it so that you are, it just makes it a lot of fun for everyone, and everyone learns from it. Everyone gets great skills. So here I am riding with guys that I should not be riding with because they were way higher level riders than I was. And not only am I keeping up with them, but I am beating them. And that was like a really refreshing thing to have happen because it just taught me something. And so anyway, cross racing, it's good for everyone. Why do I love it so much, and why do I try to get so many people involved in it? Because cross racing develops your skills. It allows you to, it teaches you how to ride your bike. And Fran has heard this one with me so many times. Everyone knows how to ride a bike. And then what do I say? No one knows how to ride a bike. And I say this because it's true. It's like we all know how to ride a bike. We grew up on our bicycles. We rode our bicycles everywhere. We did this, we did that. And then you find someone who's actually been doing it for a really long time, riding their bike for a really long time at a much higher level. And your world opens up because you learn all sorts of things about your position on your bike and how you handle your bike and how you go down hills and, you know, when to use the brakes, when not to use the brakes. I find not using the brakes most of the time is much better than using them because why waste all that wonderful energy that you just generated? But you do learn skills from people who have been around on their bikes for a long time. So the other thing is, so if you're going down a hill, let's put a cyclocross scenario out there. You've got loose gravel underneath you or loose dirt underneath you. And if you turn too hard into it, or you try to turn into it and you don't let your bike lean into the turns, your bike will, it'll drift. It's going to drift a little to the right. It's going to drift a little bit to the left. Kind of like if you were riding a bicycle or driving a motorized vehicle in the snow. You get that little bit of slide back and forth, and you have to learn how to compensate for that. And to compensate for that, this is a really, really simple thing. It's the same thing they tell me when I get into a pool and I'm just so terrible swimming. They say, just relax. And that is the correct answer. It is also the hardest answer because it's really hard to relax when you feel like your bicycle is going to slide out from underneath you. But eventually, when you do more and more cyclocross riding or mountain bike riding, off-road riding in general, you learn to accept the fact that the bike is going to drift, the bike is going to move side to side, and if you don't fight with it, you will control the bike, and the bike won't have control over you. So it's really a great way to enhance those skills. Why is this important for being on the road? Oh, I can tell you many reasons why. It also teaches you to become more comfortable on your bike in general. When you get on the road, you tend to corner better. You tend to, you certainly go down hills a lot more efficiently once you've ridden cross or raced cross, because you get a new appreciation for what you have beneath you and on your bicycle. So it's a neat thing. As far as my general description of a cyclocross race, I call a cyclocross race a race of decisions. Okay? And the reason it's a race of decisions is because the decisions you make on one lap may be completely different than the decisions you make on another lap due to various things. There could be changing conditions underneath you. There could be, you could start out on a dry day and all of a sudden a downpour comes in, and now the course, which was dry and pretty predictable, is now very slippery and muddy. You can be going around on your second lap and catch up with a bunch of riders, and now you've got to get around them, and you've also got to, you know, ride your bike into these tricky places, and you have to make a decision about how you're going to pass them, where you're going to pass them, what's going to be safe, what's not going to be safe. There's always a decision to make, and I have found years ago I had a national champion show up to one of my cross races that I have been putting on in Mansfield, and the one that I originally started, actually. And this guy shows up, and he showed up because the Nationals were actually here on the East Coast for that year, and the weekend before the national race was the race at Mansfield Hollow State Park, which I was the race director of. So this guy shows up, and I'm looking. There's the who's who of the cyclocross world is standing there at my race. And I'm going, what are you people doing here? And they're like, well, we're racing nationals next week, so we wanted to do a good warm-up race beforehand. So they came out a week early, and they did my race. We had a downpour that day, and it was probably the worst conditions, or in the cyclocross world, best conditions one could ever have. It was muddy. It was slippery. There were ruts everywhere that you would get your tires caught in. And when you get caught in a rut, it had a tendency to throw you off your bike. It was just unbelievable and perfect at the same time. So it was a very entertaining day for a race. And I watched this guy, and he had just come over a couple of years back from Europe, and he was from Poland. And he had become a U.S. citizen, and so this was his first year of being able to race in the Nationals as a U.S. citizen, and this guy was masterful. He was amazing to watch. Every single lap that he made on that race course, he used what we call the place where you ride your bike, we call it your line. So there's a line that you follow, and all the lines were getting all rutted out. So the lines were... they were pretty deep, and people were riding into the ruts, and you could see them like shaking and losing control of their bikes when they're doing it. He picked a new line every single lap. So he knew how to do it. He knew how to do it. He made a different decision every single lap. So that goes back to the race of decisions, and the decisions you make on one lap are always different than the decisions you make on the next lap. Now, I shouldn't say always, because sometimes you find that line is perfect, and you follow it every single time because you know it's the fastest way through your turn. But that's cross, and that's what it's all about, and it's just a pretty neat thing. So the cyclocross bicycle is similar to a road racing bicycle. It's lightweight, has narrow tires, and it has dropped handlebars. So they look like your typical road machine, except they have a little bit more tire clearance. So if you get into muddy situations, your bike won't gum up with lots of mud, and then your tires won't be rubbing against the frame. And they're also using a different brake system. They use either cantilever brakes, which are have a wider span across them, so they're, again, once again, if it gets really muddy, they don't gum up as easily. Or some people are now, and a lot of people, I should say, are now using disc brakes. The disc brakes are a point of, well, there's a lot of discussion about disc brakes. If you're using a carbon wheel, then disc brakes are good because they don't, you don't end up grinding your wheel down, your rim down. But if you're using an aluminum rim, I still think cantilevers work better than anything else. But that's my opinion. I'm an old school guy. That's what I know. That's what I use. But anyway, the tires will actually have a knobby tread on them. And the knobby tread, very similar to a mountain bike tire, but much smaller tread, because you're using a narrower tire. So there are different tread characteristics you can use. You can use one that's made for dry conditions. You can use one that's made for wet conditions. The same thing applies in mountain bike racing too. And you'll see people doing, you know, tire swaps in the parking lot because they go, you know what, today is this day. Boy, I checked that course out. I went out for a ride and I've got to use a different tire on it. And, you know, it gets interesting. You can actually choose proper equipment for the day of the race. The, you know, it's a great spectator sport because it's not a question of if someone is going to, you know, screw up, and you might get a chance of seeing someone take a tumble or do something goofy on their bike. It's a matter of when, and it's just, there's always people falling over, bumping into one another. It's a little bit like, I was talking to a friend who works over at the community center, and she's a rugby player, and I was explaining to her what cyclocross was, and she said, oh, it's rugby on bicycles. And yeah, okay, that's another way of looking at it. So there's a lot of character to this. It's not your normal bike race. And the real beauty of it is, so you go hard, you have a great time, you're really working hard, you get done, and you're done. And then, you know, there's kind of like a party in the parking lot. It's kind of a tailgate type of affair. We get a lot of that going on where people will go out and they'll race, and then they'll hang out in the parking lot and eat and drink with one another and have a good time. And so it's a very social event too, which is really cool. And there's even people that will, you know, they'll race in one race and then there'll be another race in between, and then they'll choose to race in another one. So they'll do a couple of different races. Those people are beyond my capability. I cannot imagine doing two in a row or even two at the same day, but they do that. And so anyway, it has other things that are very similar to road racing. The fact that there's something that we do in road racing, and we ride on the road. It's called drafting, where you sit behind another cyclist and the lead cyclist is pedaling a little bit harder, reducing wind resistance for the other rider. And you can draft in cyclocross. You can draft off-road. You can actually gain a benefit from that. And that's very useful, and it's also a great way. I found that when I was racing cross, what I would do is I would sit in on someone and I would draft them for a while, and I'd watch as I went around if I knew I was having trouble with this person and it was gonna come down to the two of us at the end, or you know, they were riding at the same level and capability as I was. So now you start thinking, okay, let's find their weakness. And so you're riding along, and then you go into, let's say you go into a really tricky, twisty, turny, windy section, and you notice that they're tapping their brakes a lot, and you don't have to tap your brakes, and they're more attentive than you are when you go into that situation. So you know that that's going to be a key point, and you remember that, and you read it, and then maybe coming around on your last lap, when you get to that point, you make a hard sprint to get there before they do, and then you go through that area knowing that they're going to have some difficulty keeping up with you when they go through. And the chances of them being able to go through as fast as you do are probably a little bit less than favorable for them. And sometimes they even get so competitive and they're trying so hard to stay on that they make a big mistake, and then it costs them many more seconds, and then you have yourself a victory with that particular rider. So anyway, there's just so much going on. It is, again, as I've always said about bicycle racing in the past, it is a chess game on wheels. You have to know when to make your move. You know, have to know why you make the move, when, where to make the move, and it's, you have to be reading it the entire time. It's really fun. It really is fun. And even if you finish dead last, you're still in the race. You're still having fun. So it really has a lot more of a camaraderie type of thing to it. And the fastest riders are cheering the slowest riders. If you get lapped in a small race, they will not pull over a lapped rider. Whereas in a big race, they'll say, okay, you've been lapped, so you're out of the race now. We're going to leave it open to those that are, you know, competitors that are in the race. But in the small races, and this is a thing that is a decision that is made by the race director. The race director can say, look, I don't want any lap riders pulled. That's the way I run my races when I put on races. I really don't want anybody pulled from the race. I want everybody to have a good time. You know, they came there, get your money's worth, have fun. You know, you're not really going to be changing the direction of the race in any way. Just make sure that if you do get lapped, you give the other riders plenty of room when it happens. So oftentimes, if you're a lapped rider, when the riders that are lapping you go by, they'll pat you on the back or they'll tell you great job or whatever. It's there's just, you know, when you're a member of that group, you're a member of the brotherhood or the sisterhood of the cyclists. So it's kind of a neat thing.
I got my butt swatted at a time trial.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, swatting a butt, well, cute girl cyclist. Well, yeah, I guess there's a problem with that, I suppose.
But butt swatting is a thing that people do in sports.
It is.
A good thing.
It is. You see basketball players swatting each other's butts.
Yeah, and it's genderless.
It is genderless. You're right.
Yes, it was done to be by a male, but I didn't mind at all. I felt like I'm part of the brotherhood now.
He probably didn't mind either. I've swatted your butt. It's kind of cute.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, I know. It came out. What can I say? So anyway, that's cyclocross racing. If you have never seen this before and you are interested in knowing more about it and you are in Connecticut, I have something for you to do. This weekend is the beginning of the 2016 Connecticut Series of Cross. So there are 8 cyclocross races across Connecticut over this fall, starting this weekend. The first one is this Saturday, September 10th, and it's Silk City Cyclocross. It's put on by the Exposition Wheelman out of Manchester, and my friend John Tarbox is the race director there, and he's been doing this for a while now. John has some interesting background because John is a mountain bike guy, and he rides on the road, he races on the road, but his passion is riding his mountain bike. So his courses tend to be a little more aggressive on the off-road sections. But, you know, that's cross. Every course is a little bit different. So John puts on a race on September 10th. It is at the it's at Manchester Community College in Manchester. And it's a great race. It is the opening race of the Connecticut Cyclocross Series. The race the following day is Riverfront Cross, and the Riverfront Cross race is Hartford Riverfront Cross, and it is at Riverfront Park, where the boathouse is on Liebert Road in Hartford. And that is on September 11th. And I am the co-race director of that particular race, so I will be out there all day Saturday. Unfortunately, not over to see John and his crew, but I will be there setting up the race course on Saturday so that we have our race on Sunday. So anyway, here we have 2 races coming up both Saturday and Sunday of this weekend, and they are right in the Hartford area, very, very close by, and you can come by and you can check them out, and it's... I guarantee you it's entertaining. It is also free. Now, it's not free to race, but it is free to ride, to watch. So that's a good thing. If you want to know more about getting involved in the race, you can go on to BikeReg, BikeReg.com, and you can look them up. And you look up Cyclocross New England, and you'll find all of the cyclocross races. And if you want to participate in them and you've never raced before, it's okay. There's a way that you can get a one-day license, and you can simply race that day. And the beauty of it is that the one-day license fees came down in 2016, so it's relatively affordable if you wish to do it. So anyway, I'm hoping that I see some of you out there on Sunday, and if you want to help me put the course together, you can always come see me on Saturday. And we are going to have some great, great cyclocross racing here in New England. After that, on September 24th, there's the E-Race. I can't remember. I think that's in the Hartford area also. I'm not 100% sure on that one. No, Hopbrook Race. And I'm not quite sure what the location is. Again, you can find the details online. The weekend, or October 8th is the next one, which is Mansfield Cyclocross, which is right here in Mansfield, Connecticut, at Mansfield Hollow State Park. On the 29th of October, there is Cheshire Cross, which is in Cheshire, Connecticut. And we have a to-be-determined on the date for Newtown Cross, but I know it falls in there somewhere in November. So there should be a race in November also. Shows here on the website as a to-be-determined, so I don't have an actual date on that one. And then after that, March Farms on December 17th, and the final race is on December 18th. So there's a weekend of racing there too. And the Elm City one is down in the New Haven area. And so anyway, there's just great, great cross racing here in Connecticut. And the beauty of all this is when I first started putting on cross races, there were no cross races. You'd find one or two, sometimes three or four throughout the entire fall season. And now we're all fighting for race dates because there are so many people that want to put a race on. So it's great. It's great. You can race every single weekend all fall long, and you know, you can learn a lot. You can meet a lot of new friends, have a great time with it. It's all wonderful. The other thing that we have developed here in Connecticut is we have developed a really strong juniors program through the Connecticut Cycling Advancement Program. And at some point in time, I will be doing a podcast with them because I want them to get out and get the word out as to what they're doing. But they have a very strong cyclocross building program. So we're getting kids on bikes. And the Connecticut Cycling Advancement Program is centered out of Middletown, Connecticut. And it has been wonderful for developing younger riders and getting younger riders involved in bicycle racing, not just cyclocross. So there's, there's other skills that you can learn. You can learn how to ride on the, you can learn how to ride on the road. You can learn how to do criteriums. You can learn how to do road races. And we've got kids that are coming to our cross races, and they start out, you know, as early as, they're like 9 years old. So we have 9 year olds that from the first group of juniors is between 9 and 12 years of age. The second level is 13 to 15 years of age. And the last level is 16 to 18 years of age. So we have separate races for the different age groups. So you don't have to put a 9 year old against an 18 year old, which obviously wouldn't work very well, but you get to race against, kids that are the same age as you. And right now, the sign up for Hartford, I was checking that this morning, is my largest number of riders in juniors is 9 to 12. So it's the young kids that are really, really filling up the start line for me, which is great to see. It's really, really cool. And we will probably be running, I have to make this adjustment today, probably running a little bit shorter race for the 9 to 12s because they're, you know, I don't want to kill them. I want to make them come back and love this and want to do it again. The other thing that I do at all of my the races that I have promoted over the years now is I have a kids race, which is basically kids that are 9 and younger, ones that are not racing in the actual juniors race. And I do it as a free race. So they can just show up, and you know, they all they have to do is just show up, and we say ready, set, go. We rope off a separate little course for them and make it fairly easy for them. And the and you know, everybody cheers for them, and we get a lot of people yelling and screaming and, you know, ringing cowbells. Cowbells are also an essential part of cyclocross racing. Cowbell is a good thing. If you're coming to the cross races, please
more cowbell.
More cowbell. Yes, more cowbell. Right. Think of songs with cowbells in them. No, let's not go there. That's another story for another day. Anyway, cowbells are a great way to encourage people because they make a lot of noise, and you can yell and scream and you can ring the cowbell, and it's kind of an expected thing at a cross race. Also starting to see those big horns, you know, those big plastic horns like they use at the soccer tournaments.
Vuvuzelas.
Yeah, those things, right. I couldn't think of the name of them, but those are starting to show up too. Anyway, So we have this little kids race, and it's the funniest thing because we get kids that show up and they're on balance bikes. Do you know what a balance bike is, Fran?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bike without pedals. And all you do is kind of scoot along on it, and you put your feet down, you kind of scoot along. And I've had some, like, the cutest little kids that go out, and they are going to go do the cross race, and we all cheer for them. And they're just, it's a hoot to watch. It's really, really fun. I believe that my race in Hartford has a kids race. It's somewhere around noon. It's right around that time. And we run them for 10 minutes. we're not going to hurt them. And we make it a short course so they can go around and around. And I always put one barrier down so they can you know, have something to hop over or jump, so they get the feel of being in the cross race. And what has this done for us? We have the biggest field of juniors in 9 and 11 now. I really want to do everything and anything I can to get kids back on bikes and away from their devices, because our society is just so device oriented and kids are so distracted. It's so much fun to see them out there just riding their bikes and having fun with one another. So anyway, again, it's a really cool thing. I think that John has a kids race also at the Silk City. So the Silk City race on Saturday also has a kids race. Great place to bring your kids if you're, you know, looking to get them introduced to the whole idea of this. It's a really warm and friendly crew. This is a different level of bicycle racing. And bicycle racing can get very intimidating, but this is just fun. Everybody just has fun. So please come out this weekend. The races go all day long. There's a race every hour on the hour, and they go all day long, both Saturday and Sunday in the Hartford region. Silk City Cross, September 10th in Manchester at Manchester Community College, and Riverfront Cross on September 11th in Riverfront Park in Hartford, right by the boathouse, if you know the boathouse where they have all the racing skulls. So, and there's also a boat launch there too in downtown Hartford. So please come by and check it out. So that's the beginning of the Connecticut Cross Series. So this is the gateway cross of this cross series. And the cross series has been going on now for, I think this is probably at least our fourth year of having a cross series for Connecticut. It might be longer than that. I can't even remember at this point. But it is getting very popular. And what we have in the Connecticut Cross Series is we have a way of collecting all the times and the results, and we put them all together for the Connecticut Series. And the more races you do, the more points you get, and the more points you get, they add up, and you can collect them. So you can be a rider that finishes, let's say, you know, in the top 10, but, you know, sometimes you're 5th, sometimes you're 8th, sometimes you're 10th, and then occasionally you get really lucky and get a 3rd place or whatever, and you could win the series over it because you show up to every single one. Whereas if your competitor does not show up to every single one in your particular category, they will not be in contention. So I believe that we throw out one of the, I can't remember exactly, I went to a meeting on this, but we throw out one of the results, so your slowest result gets tossed, so you don't have to include that in there, and everything's put together and then bundled together, and then that's how we figure it out. So it's pretty neat. It's a pretty neat thing, and it is Connecticut Series, and we used to be happy if we had 8 races in New England. And that's the way it was when I first started promoting cross. There were 8 races, 9 races actually, in New England. 4 of them done by myself and 4 of them done by a friend of mine, and or 2 different friends of mine. And then one that was done by another friend who had a bicycle shop up in Vermont. And that race still exists. That's the Putney race. And it is known for the infamous hill and cornfield. And anyone who's ever done it knows all about the infamous hill and cornfield. It's it does go crashing through a cornfield, and it's an entertaining race for sure. And the hill is a downhill, and it is it brings out the best of your bicycle racing and handling skills. Let's put it that way. So you learn very quickly how to deal with it. But anyway, so that's where we all started. But this year, again, it is the Connecticut Series of Cross, 8 cyclocross races across Connecticut, starting in September, ending in December. And if you want to know more information about it, you can contact us here at Bicycle Talk, at bicycletalk1@gmail.com, and I can give you more information. Or you can simply go to BikeReg, BikeReg.com, and you can go there and you can look up cyclocross racing there, and you will find plenty of races. There are so many races going on now in New England. It's gotten to the point where if you live far away from here and you need something closer, you'll find one on one end of New England. And if you're on this end of New England, you'll find a race here. I actually have a lot of people coming in from New York this year, which is really cool, because I got a few people last year that got really excited about Hartford Cross, and they told all their friends. And it went around. I actually got an email from one of the guys, and he told me how, he loves the race. He loves coming there. It's really a lot of fun and a great event. And he's passed around the information, and I'm getting all these New York City addresses. Really, really interesting. So people are coming up out of the city to come up and race cross in Connecticut, which is really cool. And of course, I also have people coming from Vermont. I have people coming from New Hampshire. I think I have anyone on the list. Well, I haven't looked in a while, but there might be someone from Maine there too. Definitely a lot from Massachusetts and Rhode Island, and then of course Connecticut too. So you can come from all over to do the races. It's going to be a fun weekend. I think it will be. It's a little I'm a little stressed out right now trying to get this all together, but it will be a really fun weekend, and And I hope that you guys can get out, or guys and girls can get out and come check it out. And yes, girls race cross, by the way. We have some really, really intensely good cyclocross racers here in New England. New England has kind of become the hotbed in the United States for racing cross. It started a long time ago. My series started in 1983, so that's when I date back to. There were races before that, but there was nothing really organized until 83 and on, and then we had a lot more consistency. And what happened from that is, because we had such a steady, consistent cross schedule, we grew very rapidly. And I remember the first cross race I put on in 83, I had 30 people show up, and I was thrilled. It was like, wow, 30 people, this is great. And that included everyone. That was women and juniors and masters and, the whole crew. But it was, and we would all just go at once, because it's kind of like, ready, set, go, let's do this. And a lot of times the promoters were also in the race, that was me. I was definitely in the race as well as putting on the race. And a lot of the competitors would show up early and help me, put the course together, put the finishing touches on the course and help out, which is really nice. But now it's grown to the point where we'll have a big race the Providence race, which has now moved to Thompson, Connecticut, by the way. That's something new this year. They're going to be over by the Thompson Speedway. They moved out of Providence due to financial reasons. But the Gloucester race is probably the biggest in New England, Gloucester, Mass. And it's, you'll see over 2,000 people show up to race. And it's 2 days in a row. And it is it's a UCI race, so it's a big international race, and they do draw people in from Europe to race in it. And it's the next level, or it's really the top level of cross, and it's a lot of fun to watch. And I don't have a date for Gloucester right now, but it's usually really soon, like usually the end of September, early October is when Gloucester occurs. It's probably the end of September, because early October is going to be the race in Thompson, Connecticut, which is not part of the Connecticut series, by the way. It's a different race, and it is the promoter from Providence who's putting the race on, and I'm anxious to see what they do, because it'll be a lot of fun to see something new, something different. And anyway, we have world-class cyclocross racing right here in New England, and it all developed from a handful of us that were just very enthusiastic about cross and held the torch and kept it going. So it's a cool thing. So come on out, check it out, see what you think. It's fun, it's exciting, it's a skill. So how do you learn how to do this? That's a good question. We're actually going to have a skills clinic at 3 p.m. on Saturday at Riverfront Park, which is hosted by Newington Bicycle and was the co-promoter of the race. And I know that my timing person, who works with Newington and also runs the timing service that Newington has, Amanda has got a bunch of women coming out to do a skills clinic, and I'm going to be running a skills clinic at 3 o'clock on Saturday at the cross course in Hartford. So anybody who wants to know more about that or wants to learn or would like to come out, please come on out, check it out. It's kind of fun. And if you don't get a chance to do that and you're listening to this on the podcast and you want to know about it later, I'm sure that there will be other times that you can go do a skills clinic, or you can contact me directly and I would be very happy to show you the basics of cross. So let's go over a couple of those things, because I did one of these last year out in Mansfield, and it was really fun because I got I got our local professional bicycle racer Amber Pierce to show up to it, because she was curious, and she and her husband David had just purchased cross bikes, and she was really intimidated by the whole idea of it, but she said, "I really want to learn." So I did a cross clinic with them and with a number of other people that showed up. And I went through mounts and dismounts and riding in on off camber terrain and, you know, turns and how to handle yourself, how to pick up and carry the bike, just some basic stuff. And I did a clinic with them, and it was really interesting. Now, I understand Amber doesn't want to fall and hurt herself, but she was a little intimidated by the whole idea. Now, her husband David was an entirely different story. He got on that bike and I showed him things to do, and his grin got bigger and bigger and bigger, and I looked at him and said, "You've ridden off-road before." He said, "I grew up racing BMX." Which is bicycle motocross, which is off-road racing on a little 20-inch dirt bike, basically, that you pedal. And he had skills, so he wasn't afraid of it. So he went out and he couldn't find enough times to ride across the off-camber. He just loved it. He thought it was really cool and really great. But you have to practice. You know, you have to practice it, and you really have to stop thinking about it. You have to think about what you're going into, but you do have to not think about it while you're doing it. And always look where you're going to be, not where you are. That's a big one. That's a real big one that a lot of people get confused with, and they make the big mistake. And this is a mountain biking mistake too that I see often happening. And what they will do is they'll be riding along and then they'll look down. And where you look is where you fall. So you have to be very sensitive to that too. Be real, real careful about that. So you're always looking at where you're going to go, and that's where you will be. But never look down, because when you look down, it's probably where you're going to fall. So that's a mountain biking skill. It's a cyclocross skill. It's something that you really want to pay attention to when you're doing this. So I talk to people about that, and I talked about them, looking forward and always looking to see where you want to be. You're kind of looking for different lines. You're looking at the terrain ahead of you. You're looking at whether or not you have some mud in front of you or whether you have a small hill in front of you. You want to be able to try to think and judge out and anticipate what you're going to do when you get to that particular spot. So that's the way it all works. And it's and then you get to the barriers. So what's with the barriers? Yeah, we put barriers down in front of you. If there isn't a good barrier down already, like a tree down or something like that, which is not a dangerous situation, but a pretty controlled situation, we put our own barriers down. We have man-made barriers we put down. It's usually a double barrier. It can't be any taller than 15 inches, and it's usually about 10 feet wide. So it's as is the course, by the way. The course is always right around 10 feet wide is what you're looking at, 9 to 10 feet. So it's the barriers are placed strategically far enough apart so that you can't jump them. Because if you can jump the first one and then you can jump the second one, I'm not saying you can't. You can do whatever you want to get yourself over the barrier, but it will cost you time if you do that. It's much faster to ride up to the barrier and then dismount the bicycle and run over the barriers and then hop back on the bike. So how do you do that at speed? Again, practice, practice, practice. So what you're going to do is you're going to ride up to it. You want to ride up to it so fast that you're going quickly enough so that when you step off the bike, you're barely able to keep yourself upright running and without falling on your face. And then you hop back on the bike on the other side just before you fall on your face. That's the perfect mount dismount because that's the perfect speed. Most people don't do that. But when you get up to the high levels and the pro levels, they do it without any thought. It's really seamless the way they do it. So it's very, very nice. And anyway, so you learn how to do that. You learn how to, when you dismount the bike, you learn how to dismount on one side only. And, you just practice. That's all there is to it. We're getting close to the end of the show here. So we're going to have to bring this to an end. Fran's got something for me, though.
Yeah, Ed from Granby wanted to know where he can go to a swap meet.
A swap meet?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Boy, I'm not really sure. There have been swap meets in the past, Ed, and I don't know of any coming up soon, so I'm not real sure. But you can always look on Bike Reg. Sometimes they're advertised on there.
So you went to that one in Providence.
Right, and there might be one at Thompson. There might be one at the Speedway in Thompson coming up the first weekend in October. So he should keep his eyes open on that one. That's all the right. Best I can give you there.
Okay.
Anyway, moving on here, you have been listening to Bicycle Talk. And my name is Ron Meniza, a.k.a. Pedalin' Ron. I am here with my co-host, Fran Storch. This is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. Again, if you need to reach us, you can send an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You are listening to 91.7 WHUS Storrs, Connecticut. Thank you very much for listening.